All right. How are we doing? Can you guys hear me? Can you see me? Everything good? All right. By the way, we're going to record this, and if there are testimonies in the middle, we will keep recording. But if you don't want it shared, we'll cut it all out in the middle. So, but just to make it easier, we'll keep recording. Okay. So, I'm just going to take a minute. Just if you were with us the last few, last couple of months, we've been in a series where we're looking at the places in the Bible that have mentioned the period of 40 days. And so we've seen a whole bunch of things. Like we've seen where Noah had to learn to trust God as he stepped out into the new normal. And we looked at Joshua trusting in God's promises as he scouted out Canaan. We looked at Moses praying for God's people for 40 days and for 40 nights. We've seen Elijah going for a long 40-day journey, a long walk, and learning to listen to the still small voice of God. And one of the things that I've noticed as we've kind of moved through this series, and I don't even know if we planned it this way, really, but was how many, so many of the stories actually connect to the ways that we can intentionally pursue God through our daily habits. Did you notice that? I sort of noticed that as we started moving through the series. Think about it for just a minute. So from Noah, we learn that we need to wait on God's timing. From Joshua taught us to remember God's promises and to count our blessings. Moses taught us to intercede with focus and with purpose. Elijah taught us to slow down and to listen for the voice of God. And then 2 weeks back, we looked at Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, where he's facing temptation. And Jen pointed out to us how Jesus faced the temptations of the enemy, strengthened by his knowledge of the Word of God. That's a pretty good list of spiritual habits right there, isn't it? And in fact, if you joined us for the journey that we began on Monday, July 27th, then you would have hit day 40 in our own kind of journey in the spiritual habits just yesterday on the 5th of September. And so hopefully there's some testimonies out there of what God's done during that period of time. We'll get to those in just a bit. But this week, we're going to look at the final portion in our series, looking at 40 days, and it's right from the first part of Acts. So if you've got your Bibles there with me or with you, then open up with me to Acts chapter 1, the very beginning of the book of Acts. We're going to look at the last mention in our series. There's probably other mentions of the period of 40 days in the rest of scripture, but we've gone through the Old Testament. We got to Jesus a couple weeks ago. Here we are at the beginning of the church in Acts. So take out your Bibles and look at chapter 1. And actually, we looked at this passage together this morning if you were out with us on Weavers Field. And I'm going to do this in two parts. So this first part is just looking backwards on our series of 40 days, and then and we'll start to get into this Acts passage. And then the next part of the talk is actually going to get us into a brand new series going through Acts for the next couple of months. And so this sort of talk is like a two for one almost. Okay. So let me just start with Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven." Let me just stop right there and just say this is one of the ways that we need to read and understand Acts as a book. Okay, it was written by Luke as a continuation of the account that he began in his gospel, the Gospel of Luke. And we know this because it's written to the same person, from Luke to Theophilus, which, by the way, that name means God lover, which I really like. So, God lover. Which could be to a specific person, but it could be to all of us who are God lovers. So I've written this to you. It's to him and to us, he says. And he says in verse one, Luke says, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." See, it's like part one. So just this is really important. Part one is the gospel of Luke, the doings and the teachings of Jesus. Okay. And part two is the doings and the teachings of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, by his apostles and his followers. Okay, do you get that? That's really important. So this is part two of what Luke begins with his gospel. So let me keep going here in verse two. "After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that Jesus had chosen." And then verse three, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was still alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So my main point in this first section here is just notice the role of the Holy Spirit in our growth and instruction. Okay, do you notice the number of times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned just in this text that we're looking at here today? And in fact, that's a major theme in the book of Acts. Okay, the ongoing work of Jesus Christ by his people ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons why we're looking at it together as a church. Okay, so as we look at this, that'll be our focus between now, really up through November. We're looking at different parts in the book of Acts, and we're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit to advance the gospel of the kingdom and grow the church. All right, so let's look at where the Holy Spirit's mentioned in what we've just read so far. Verse 2, Jesus gave his instructions to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is already giving instructions to his apostles, and Luke writes he's doing this through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself. And then verse 4, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as a gift promised by the Father, a gift and a promise. That's another way that the Holy Spirit is talked about. Verse 5, Jesus compares receiving the gift to being baptized, only this time not with water, he says. And then later on in verse 8, we're going to read, Jesus says you will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes. And so we receive instruction, teaching through the Holy Spirit. We receive power. We receive his Spirit like a promised gift. A promised gift to all of the Father's children, not just to the deserving few or to those who are kind of signed up or designated for a special ministry. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living, resurrected Jesus Christ given to each of his followers for the purpose of growing in Christlikeness, so that's for us, and for the purpose of growing his church. Okay, so that's what the Holy Spirit is about and what the Holy Spirit is for us growing more to be like Jesus and for growing the church, for growing the kingdom of God. And do you know what that actually sounds like? The Holy Spirit's role in growing us to be more like Christ. It sounds like where we began 40 days ago. So if you remember, I'm going to share with you just this passage here that I'm going to put up on the screen. Hopefully this works. This is just my one, maybe two slides that I've got for you tonight. So this is from 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10. And we began with this 40 days ago. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance." Oh, wait, you know, I'm going to go back a slide because this is the part I want to show you. Sorry, this is verse 3. "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." Now, just right there, we can keep going, but just right there, do you see those connections to what I just read to you from Acts? Now, bear in mind, too, this is written by Peter. So this is like one of Peter's letters, but Peter would have been with Jesus, you know, during that 40 days of teaching with Jesus, as Jesus said, you know, taught about the kingdom, and with Jesus when Jesus gave that promise of the power of the Spirit coming on them as they waited on it. And so do you see that, how it connects to the Acts 1 passage? You see that mention of divine power, right? And you see that it's described, right? So the power of God is described as a gift that's given. And then also the Holy Spirit is a promise received. For what? So that we can participate in the divine nature, so that we can be more like Christ. And then looking at this next verse, it says, "For this reason," this is why we did some of those spiritual habits, "make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control." You know, have a plan, be disciplined. "And to self-control, perseverance," keep at it. "And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what's the purpose of the gift of the Spirit? Well, For one thing, the power of the Spirit is to help us grow in Christ, to be more like Christ, but also to be productive and effective in the mission that God gives us. Okay? So we want to be intentional in growing in Christ-likeness and in cooperation with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of effective mission. And so this is where I want to pause, kind of take a breath and just see, like, do we actually have some testimonies of what God's done in your life over the past 40 days? I almost said 40 years. You could talk about the last 40 years if you want, but especially in the last 40 days, if you took a particular spiritual habit or practice and you just said, God, by your power, the power of the Holy Spirit in me, I want to do these things just to grow in Christ-likeness, to form a habit within me. Would love to just hear sort of what that did for you, maybe the challenges or the benefits. A little bit more here to go. And I do want to just pick up there in verse 2, there's a mention of apostles. And I want to explain just a little bit about apostles. That word apostles really just means ambassadors or sent ones. And these are like messengers. But they're not just messengers. They're messengers that have authority that has been given them by the sender. So when apostles go, they go with the authority, the spiritual authority in this case, of the sender, apostles of Jesus Christ. And you may have heard us sort of refer to apostles in the past, right, as missionaries. And that would be people who cross cultural boundaries to reach people for Christ. But in this case, right here in this book of Acts, right at this beginning part, we're talking uniquely about appointed apostles of Christ. So it's almost like capital A apostles, okay? I mean, here's what we know about them from just what the scripture gives us. You know, they're uniquely chosen by Jesus. See that in verse 2? They were chosen by Jesus. And we also see that they're eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus, verse 3. And let's look at that one really specifically. Verse 3 says, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. Okay, and then we also know about the apostles that they were instructed and commissioned. Verse 4 is where Jesus says, wait for the gift. You know, there's a gift coming. The promise is coming. And then in verse 8, we'll see soon, he says, you will be my witnesses. So the apostles are instructed and they're also commissioned. And then lastly, they're promised power through the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in the world. That's in verse 8. So a lot of what we go on to read about in Acts is about these apostles, as well as some of the early disciples of Jesus, both men and women. Okay, so that's a lot of the unfolding story of Acts is these apostles, and then the many followers, the multitudes of disciples that come as a result of their work. All right, let's keep reading in Acts chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So here's the other thing about the apostles. They were a little bit slow sometimes to grasp what Jesus was really doing. I mean, think about it. These guys had hung out with Jesus for 3 years in ministry together already. They were watching how Jesus did things. They were hearing his teachings, right? And yet they still needed 40 more days of instruction after Jesus's resurrection and all of those appearances and convincing proofs that Luke writes about. And so take heart, if you ever feel a little bit slow to kind of catch on to what's going on, you're in good company because the apostles didn't quite catch on. Here's how we know that. Look at the way that they asked Jesus about the kingdom, okay? And bear in mind too, that in verse 3, Jesus says that he appeared to them and taught about the kingdom for 40 days. So Jesus is teaching with them for 40 days and he speaks about the kingdom of God, right? And yet here in verse 6, they ask this, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's like they're adventures in missing the point. Church theologian John Calvin and preacher John Calvin, he writes this, there are as many errors in this question as there are words. That's pretty severe. So they say, at this time, so just catch that phrase, at this time, Jesus. See, they're worried about the timing. They want to know the plan. How many of you guys can connect with that, sort of identify with that? Maybe they've grown impatient. You know, Lord, are you finally going to do that thing that you're going to do? Like that thing we've all expected. Are you finally going to get around to it? at this time. And then they say, are you going to restore the kingdom? At this time, are you going to restore the kingdom? See, the apostles are still thinking this is going to be an earthly, temporal thing, like an earthly thing, a political thing. Are you going to restore the kingdom? And then the last thing they say is to Israel. So they're national in focus. Are you going to bring a political, earthly kingdom to our people and people like us? That's the kind of limited scope that the apostles have, even after all the exposure to what Jesus was about and Jesus' teaching about the kingdom. But instead, what we get here in this first part of Acts is that the kingdom is actually the other things that are not quite like that question at all. The kingdom is hidden and unfolding. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. The kingdom is hidden at times, and it's unfolding. You know what? You don't need to worry about it, Jesus says. I've got this. My Father in heaven has a plan, and it's his kingdom, and you don't need to know the ins and the outs. But instead, it's a spiritual kingdom. So instead of a political kingdom or an earthly kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom with supernatural power, right? You see that in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. And also they see here that it's established by the authority of the king. So it's set by his own authority. So it's a kingdom that's a heavenly supernatural kingdom with my Father as the one in authority. Verse 7. But also it's larger than you think. See, the apostles asked just about Israel. Like, is this finally going to happen for the people of Israel? And Jesus says, no, it's not just for Israel or for people who are culturally like me. In verse 8, he says it's going to happen in Jerusalem, which is close to home. And then in Judea and Samaria, so like the next borough over, and then to the ends of the earth. So in ever-widening circles, my kingdom's going to unfold and expand. And also the last part is that Jesus says this kingdom is going to involve all of us. Every one of my followers, every one of my disciples, you will be my witnesses in verse 8. And of course we know as followers of Jesus that it's not a political kingdom won by force, but it's a spiritual kingdom won by the one who laid down power by dying for us on the cross and then finding resurrection life and power. So how do we kind of live this out? All of this, the first part of Acts chapter 1, what can we do with this just in the days and the weeks to come? First of all, I want to just encourage you again to, very similar to how Jesus instructs his disciples, to learn to wait on God. Did you catch that? As Jesus says, wait for the power that comes. You know, the disciples end up spending 10 days waiting together. They're praying and they're waiting in obedience to what Jesus commands. And we're going to learn more about that in the coming weeks, what happens next. But just in that discipline of waiting, kind of in silence or in scripture, those things that we talked about, I want to encourage you again. We've said this a couple of times in the weekly news, but for those of you who want to grow in waiting on God or grow in these kind of spiritual habits, Jen and I are doing a lunch and learning kind of book call with this great book that we've done with some of the younger crowd, the 20s and 30s crowd. It's called Good and Beautiful God. And we're doing that. We're offering this Tuesdays at 1 p.m. It's a short 1-hour call. I want you to commit to the whole thing, start to finish. And it's going to begin on the 15th of September. So please just join us if you want to grow in that kind of ability of waiting on God and these other spiritual practices. It's a really helpful book, and it gives you kind of a weekly thing to work on in terms of spiritual habits. So please let us know if you're interested in that and if you want a copy of the book. All right. That's the shameless sort of book club plug. All right. But the other one here is just to learn. Maybe this is one way to apply this passage as well, is to learn to listen for the instructions and the teachings of Jesus, okay? And that's one thing. I just want to encourage all of us together as a church family to read through the book of Acts, to see what the life in the kingdom in this ever-expanding, unfolding kingdom in widening circles is all about. And, you know, it's pretty easy to do. This is 28 chapters long. Sally has calculated that if you read through it start to finish, it takes about an hour, or no, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. That's right. So 2.5 hours. You could read a chapter a day, and that would be a month, right? Or you could sit down and read it all in one go. Listen to it on audio. That's another great way to do it. It's just to learn to listen for the instructions and the teachings of Jesus, especially right now, how the Holy Spirit advances the gospel of the kingdom and grows the church. That's what we want to be about. I think that as we do this, we're going to find that this is such a relevant book for us right now when we're in a season of doing new things, for one thing, but also of not being able to do things that we used to do, the normal way that we do them. So if you're wondering, what is it like to meet as a church in smaller groups and in households or even just outside, look at the book of Acts. If you are feeling like the church has to navigate government restrictions on how we do church and mission, read through the book of Acts. If you're wondering, how do we reconcile our racial and cultural differences as members of God's family? Again, look at the book of Acts. If you're wondering, how do we feel when we're feeling the need for heaven's wisdom and instructions for how to advance the gospel of Jesus to unreached people? Acts is your book. And then lastly, if you want to get excited about what God's doing around the world, even in times like this, have a read through the book of Acts, okay? The last piece I want to share with you is just take a step in witnessing for Christ. That's how we apply this. Take a step in witnessing for Christ, being on mission. So that question, who is God bringing across your path right now? Who is in your Jerusalem, right there, right around you, maybe in your patch? Who are you praying for right now that would come to know Jesus and trust him with their life? And then a couple of layers out, is God calling you to be a part of what he's doing around the globe? His gospel going out, the kingdom of God expanding as people come to surrender their lives to the King of the kingdom? So take a step in mission in the coming weeks and days. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how you can do that next Sunday. In the evening on our Zoom call, the vision kind of Sunday, we're going to go a few steps deeper and understanding how you can connect to some of the exciting ministry that's happening through the GSM, through the community hub. So we're going to cover some of that next week, and we want to invite you back for that. So that's the journey in Acts. We're kind of opening it now. We'll be kind of looking at it and learning from it and hopefully growing in it and our understanding of the Holy Spirit's power. And so this is what I want to bless you with as we sort of wrap this up for tonight. Good Shepherd Mission, family of God, I want to bless you to learn to wait for God's power in order to witness for Christ in your immediate circles and beyond. Amen.